Today is the first Sunday in Lent, when we think about Jesus spending 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, being tested or tempted in some translations by the devil. There are accounts of this testing in three of the four Gospels, and I'm focusing on Luke's version that we heard this morning, with a few comparisons with Matthew along the way. The version in Mark's Gospel is only a couple of verses with very little detail. In Luke's Gospel, we hear that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and in Luke and Matthew, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tested by the devil for 40 days, during which he ate nothing at all. I don't know about you, but I get grumpy if I haven't eaten for a few hours, let alone a day. So after 40 days of being tested and not eating, Jesus may be seen as vulnerable to temptation. A desperately hungry man might do a lot in order to be fed. Here are verses 3 and 4 of Luke chapter 4. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Jesus is quoting directly from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where it says, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So then the devil tries something else, starting at verse 5. "Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Another quote from Deuteronomy. This is a strange one, because surely such power and authority is not the devil's to give. It reminds me of a child trying to get another to do something unwise, promising to give them something they want, like chocolate or a toy. Then, when the second child does that thing, expecting the reward, the first one laughs nastily and says, "You didn't really think I'd give you my chocolate, did you?" And there is much gleeful taunting, because the child was silly enough to do what had been suggested, and worse, to think they'd get something for doing it. I know, horrible, isn't it? If the child gets into trouble with an adult for what they've done, that's even better. The perfect way to get your classmate or sibling to look naughty or silly, while you look quietly innocent. But this isn't a child that the power-hungry devil is taunting. It's Jesus, the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, who knows just the right words to say to refute the devil's suggestion. Then we have the devil's third and final test in this passage. "Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" So Jesus isn't the only one who can quote from Scripture. Now the devil is quoting Psalm 91. But this doesn't wash with Jesus, who says, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When you realise how holy the temple was in Jewish society at that time, this really was a dreadful suggestion by the devil, asking Jesus to prove he was the Son of God by jumping off the top of it to see if the angels would save him. But Jesus doesn't need to prove who he is in this way. The end of the passage is quite sinister. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This points towards people taunting him, saying he should save himself during his crucifixion. In this passage, Jesus quotes from Scripture a lot, but the devil joins in towards the end, so please be mindful when listening to people justifying their actions by using quotes from the Bible. There are many people who are very clever at twisting words to fit their agenda, and it's important to think carefully about what a person is saying. Just because they can quote the Bible, it doesn't mean their intentions are good. I once knew someone who regularly boasted that he'd read the entire Bible all the way through about 18 times. He was trying to prove what a great Christian he was, but he ended up in prison for some horrible crimes. So please, quote the Bible wisely. During really difficult times, it can be helpful to remember that Jesus was hungry and utterly alone in the wilderness. That we can take our situations to him in prayer, knowing he has experienced tough times himself from a totally human angle. Of course, many of us will not pass every test. That's part of being human. We won't always make the best decisions or go down the right path. But however far we've gone down the wrong one, we can always turn back towards God. He will still be there, waiting for us to return. Like the father of the prodigal son, in the parable in Luke chapter 15, it says, "But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him." However sinful and unworthy of God's love we may feel, he is always waiting for us to come back to him. I often preach on Psalms and words that come up again and again about God are steadfast love. That love that means we can trust God to help us in times of trouble. In Psalm 91, the last few verses are addressed to us from God. He doesn't promise us a trouble-free life, but says he will always be with us. Here are the first verses of the psalm, taken this time from the Good News translation, with a few verses we didn't hear earlier. "Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, 'You are my defender and protector. You are my God. In you I trust.' He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers and from all deadly diseases. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect you and defend you. And those last few verses from the same translation. God says, I will save those who love me and will protect those who acknowledge me as Lord. When they call to me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them and honour them. I will reward them with long life. I will save them. So this is a God in whom we can trust, who loves us and is always with us. Life will be challenging at various times, but God is always there, walking by our side. Trusting can be very hard, and so during this season of Lent, take some time for prayerful reflection. I can't tell you that life will always be easy, and sometimes it can feel as if God is far, far away, and life just keeps throwing things at you, getting more and more difficult. But however much it might feel like it, you are never alone. I'm going to end by reading out verses 5 and 6 from hymn 509, which we sang earlier. Strong in the everlasting name and in my Father's care, I trust in him, I trust in him who hears and answers prayer. Safe in the shadow of the Lord, possessed by love divine, I trust in him, I trust in him, and meet his love with mine. Amen.